I do not fear anymore dark places, cemeteries, forests. Hi there, and greetings to everyone seeking and hoping to find the true meaning of life, those sick and tired of this poisonous world whose soul and spirit are bleeding, and of the emptiness and futility of this materialistic civilization. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. Welcome to our world of supreme love and immortality, where all human hopes are fulfilled. Welcome to the world of Orthodox Christian spirituality, a world now unknown to the West, which once had the key, but lost it a long time ago, the key that has an answer to every question. My name is monk Arsenije Jovanović. I live in the monastery of Ostrog, Montenegro. It is never too easy to talk on spiritual issues, especially when it has to be in foreign language, which is English to me. I apologize in advance for possible mistakes. However, I believe God will help me to say the word and you to understand it. So, let us embark on our waves. Hi there, my friends. Once again, this meeting is number 12 that we are talking about my life and life of every other man on this planet, because we all have same blood, same bones, same flesh. We are all the same, basically, although with small differences. But in this case, we are all from one blood, from one flesh. We are all brothers. And being brothers, we are all suffering the same way on this planet, which is sometimes called the valley of tears. Very often we suffer, and much less we rejoice. This time I will stop and try to talk more about fears, about anxiety, about my fear that captured me. I spoke in our last previous show, but there are several types of fear. I'm not going to go very deep into it. This maybe we will do in some other meeting, but this time I will talk about fear that I had from my childhood. And it's a usual fear that most of people have. And then I will proceed and I will tell what happened after my meeting with Elder Ephrem in Queen's Cathedral. This fear that I'm going to talk about now is more common to humanity. And it's a fear of darkness. It's a fear of dark. Fear of dark forests, deserted houses, old dark deserted houses. And basically fear of being alone in some deserted place, or closed in some room being alone. It usually starts in the childhood, usually when we are left to be alone somewhere. Usually if we do not have anybody to take care about us, and when parents go out for some reason, when they leave us alone at home, if we do not have brothers and sisters, like it was my case. So my parents used to go sometimes out in the evening, and they would leave me alone. It didn't happen all the time, because sometimes they would take me to my grandparents or to some neighbors, but sometimes I would stay alone. And I would feel scared being alone in the apartment. And sometimes this fear would escalate so much that I would be afraid to go through the hallway to the bathroom to go and to pee. So sometimes I would pee in the
flower pot
because I was so scared to go out of my room, go through the hallway all the way to the bathroom. It sounds ridiculous, but that's what happens with children when we are alone, when we are small, when we are little children. So from those early years of mine, that fear entered me and it stayed there for many, many years. And later on, when I was a teenager in Belgrade, it was still there. And especially when I started to smoke marijuana, I remember in suburbs of Belgrade where I used to live, in another part of that part of city, not far away from me, there was a friend of mine, much older than me, and he was growing grass at his home. And usually I would go there and we would smoke, and then I would come back home. But the part between our two places where we used to live, it was at that time still without street lamps, and it was a dark part of the city. It was at that time it was suburbs, but now it's all inhabited. So I remember being stoned from marijuana. I would walk towards my building and it was dark, and it was something like 10 minutes walk, and I would feel such a terrible fear that somebody is behind my back. It was almost unbearable, and I was talking to myself, are you crazy? Why are you scared so much? There is nobody behind you. But still, it was irrational. It was hard to explain to myself, so this fear was torturing me. And it was like that through all my youth. So when I went to United States, it was still with me. Of course, I was fighting with it, and sometimes it was less, sometimes it was more, but basically it was there. It was part of me. And I was really mad on myself, being so like some kind of coward, but it was very hard to explain where did it come from and how exactly it was influencing me. So finally, when I went to a monastery, Pennsylvania, I was reading a lot, Holy Fathers, church books. I realized that it is an immense field of learning and inquiring. It was a great science. So once I came across with a very important book in Orthodox Christianity, and it is called The Ladder, written by St. John the Climacus. I think it's somewhere around 6th century. And there in this book is divided on 33 levels, better to say steps. And that's why it is called Ladder, because it is also called The Ladder of Divine Ascent. And one step is dedicated to this childish fear, how the author is calling this fear. And it says there that any Christian, any mature man who wants to progress in spiritual life, he has to get rid of this childish weakness, this childish fear of dark places and deserted places, cemeteries, woods, old houses, etc. And it says that how it should be accomplished. So he says there that, for example, we have fear from dark woods or cemeteries. He says, at midnight, cross yourself, pray to the Lord to give you strength and help, and being in a brave manner, go straight there. Do not hesitate. Do not be scared. Just go and go there, and be there and stay there as long as you are scared, as long as you fear this place. So when I was reading this, I thought, is this possible? What if somebody loses his mind? But then further on, he was proceeding and telling that if we do this just like that, without God's help, without prayer, then something bad really can happen to us, because with our powers, we are not able to stand this terror and horror that can capture us in such situation. But with a firm decision that we are going to go through this, this is something childish and stupid, and moreover, and most important, with prayer, we can conquer it.
So I said to myself, well, if this is so, I will do it. I believe that God will help me as He helped me in many other things before. So I've decided next evening to go early in bed and to wake up at midnight and to do what St. John the Climacus advises us. So that night I woke up at midnight, and when I got up from my bed, I started to dress myself. But then at the same time, the thoughts of hesitation came to me, saying, what are you doing? Are you going crazy? Are you going mad? You're going to get insane if you do this. Where do you go? You go through the forest to the cemetery? You must be crazy. You are going to lose your mind. You're going to have heart attack. Do you know how faint-hearted you are? But I have already acquired certain experience in this mental combat with my mind, with my thoughts. So I said to myself, no, I will go straight there and God will help me. So my decision was to go through the woods towards first of those lakes, and then after the lake there was a big cemetery. But it was a Protestant cemetery, mostly tombs without cross. So a few times I was there during the day, of course, and to me it looked so scary, because as an Orthodox Christian I remember cemeteries in my country, and of course every tomb would have a cross, and a cemetery by itself is a scary place, but cemeteries without crosses to me were even more frightening. So I had decided to go straight there in the middle of the night and to fight with my childish fear. Although, to me it was everything but childish, because it was so, it was a great problem to me. But I said, God is omnipotent. He will help me. So it was maybe around 12:30. And so I went out of monastery and I started to walk towards the closest woods. There, after 10 minutes walk, there was a big wooden cross next to the small well where we used to do sanctification of water. And it was a place for tourists to go there and to drink holy water, and it was a nice place during the day, but during the night it was pretty frightening, especially because of this cross who had on it, it was all scratched by claws of local bears that would go there and sharpen their claws on the cross. So when I was on my way towards this cross, it was dark, it was night. The sky was partially clouded, so sometimes the half moon would shine, sometimes it was covered by clouds. So it was light enough not to stumble, but it was dark enough to be very frightening. And at the very beginning of my walk, I started to feel very bad and very strong fear. And I started even to sweat, although it was not very, it was not hot outside, but it was from nervous tension. So finally I have arrived where the cross was, and I was all slightly shaking and feeling very disturbed. So I came to the cross and I hugged the cross and I was praying, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Help me to conquer this fear. Help me to expel from my mind all these memories from those sick movies that I was watching in my life, those horror movies, and all those scary books that I was reading as a child. Please help me not to be faint-hearted like this. Please let me enjoy the night silence of this sleeping forest. Let me enjoy your sleeping creation, this beautiful nature. Let me enjoy in every moment of my life not to be scared. So after a short prayer by this cross, I felt a little better, but still I was feeling very bad. And walking through the forest, all those bushes and small trees looked to me resembled like some kind of monsters are staying there and looking at me. I knew it was a fantasy, but still it was so strong that I couldn't expel it from me. So I was walking and feeling very disturbed. But with great hope that the Lord will help me, I was proceeding. So finally, I came out of the woods and reached the lake. So I took direction around the lake on the right-hand side. And finally, after 10 more minutes, I've seen a cemetery not far away from me. And then the fear became even stronger, because finally I came to the point where it was to be or not to be. I came to the fence of the cemetery. It was dark, silent, and very scary. I was standing there for a while, gathering my powers. My heart was beating, and now it was, I think, already more than 1 a.m. Finally, I entered the cemetery, so I have chosen one of the alleys going through the middle of the cemetery. The cemetery was basically beautiful. It was nice and clean, very neat. Flowers were around every tomb. But this beauty, I mean this garden-like cemetery and all this neat look of this cemetery made me all feeling even more terrible, because it was so nice and so frightening. Nice in a way of it was so solemn, but also it was so frightening. So my tension was getting higher and higher. And in one moment, in the middle of the cemetery, it looked to me, I thought that I heard from one of the tombs crying. Somebody was crying in one of those tombs. And it was so terrible that I thought I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. And I even forgot to pray anymore. It was so intense, a nervous tension. So I was walking, almost losing my mind out of fear. But then finally, I came to my senses and I started to pray again. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And I was proceeding, walking and praying, and then slowly, 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 I calmed. Finally, I calmed down. And I have realized, somehow I came to my senses and I do not fear anymore. That strong as it was while I was walking through the cemetery. So finally I came to the gate of the cemetery, and I have walked out finally. And then I set on my way towards monastery. As I was proceeding more towards monastery, peace was finally there. I was feeling more and more peace in myself. And it was so beautiful acknowledgement that I managed to go through all this without being actually insane or without heart attack or anything. So it was a victory. It was basically a victory. So when I came to the monastery, I was feeling absolutely peaceful and very good. So I said to myself, God really helped me. So I managed to go through all this, and not only without damage, but with a great strength in myself right now. So it was close to 2 o'clock a.m. and with great joy, I have realized I made it. For the first time in my life, I made such a great accomplishment. So I said to myself, okay, although a little fear was still there, but I said to myself, now I will do this for at least 10 more days, every night, until I conquer, until I finish with this childish, stupid fear completely. So, as I said, that's what I was doing next 12 days, I think. Every night at midnight, I would wake up and I would go to the forests all over. Not only to the cemetery anymore. Now I was going all over, but usually through the forests. And once, I remember, it was maybe 8th night of my night walks, when I was leaving one part of the forest and there was a road going through the country. It was a country road. All of a sudden, although it was dark, I've seen, let's say, for about 50 meters in front of me, I've seen a dark bear galloping from one part of the forest across the road to another part of the forest. But to my great astonishment, this bear had a face of girl, and he was smiling with white teeth towards me. But at that moment I didn't get frightened that much, but I was just stunned. What is this? And then, when it finished, this vision, I thought, this must be a hallucination out of being tired, walking through the night. And I was thinking, was this a demon or just a hallucination? Or what was this? I thought, demons are appearing only to great men of prayer, to holy men. God wouldn't allow demon to appear in front of me because I'm not ready for something like this. I thought, this must be a hallucination out of being tired. But only God knows what was it. Anyway, so after 12 days, finally, I had conquered my fear. And I was walking through the forest in the middle of the night without slightest fear. So after about 2 weeks altogether, I finally understood that I do not fear anymore dark places, cemeteries, forests. And thanks to the Lord and to the all heavens, it was 24 years ago. And it never came back to me, especially when I was living in my mountain. It was so beautiful for me to walk at night through the forest and to enjoy sleeping nature. So it was a great accomplishment for myself. It was really something great and beautiful, beautiful victory, because I was suffering from this fear from the early childhood, and with the help of God and this advice from the Holy Father, Saint John the Climacus, I have made it. I have managed to conquer fear. So it's a question of belief that the Lord will help us. And of course, it's a question of courage, being brave. We need to be brave in such things. Cowardice is a terrible thing. If we are cowards, we will never accomplish anything serious in our lives. And sometimes this fear can even get so high and so terrible that we cannot have control over our reactions anymore. So we are forced to go to psychiatrists, to psychologists, to go there, to talk to them, to have meetings with them, sometimes weekly, to give a lot of money and to take medicines and drugs and pills. And still there is no help, because chemistry cannot help our mind and our soul. This is the act of demonical powers who take hold of us and do not leave us through the whole life if we do not take weapon called prayer and faith to the living God. With this help, we can accomplish everything. So I'll go back now to my drive from New York towards Pennsylvania after meeting with Elder Ephraim. So as I said in the last meeting, after a while, after half an hour since we left New York City, driving towards Pennsylvania on highway, I have realized that I do not have this fear anymore. But when I start to talk about this fear, somebody will say, but you just said that you have conquered the fear. What is this fear now that you are talking about? Well, this fear was different. This fear was more really demonical, because it came to me as a result of being deluded as a young and inexperienced monk, somebody who enters spiritual life and spiritual warfare with demons, but without being humble, without humility, without being aware of demonic traps that they are waiting for us when we think high about, when we have high opinion on ourselves. So this fear was much more terrible, much more hard to bear that fear before, because this previous fear almost every man has, and it's hard, but usually it doesn't make us really be disturbed in our life that much. But this kind of fear, this is already a pathological thing. It's a pathology. It's something for people usually go to psychiatrist when this happens, because it's called an anxiety. And higher state of this anxiety is called generalized anxiety. And sometimes it can be so strong and so hard that a living man cannot stand this. And sometimes people, they even commit suicide, or they start to drink heavily, or to take drugs, or to go to psychiatrist and to take hard and very strong pills and tranquilizers, because it's hard to bear that kind of fear. And this is what happened to me. So I was more than 6 months on the verge to go to a psychiatrist and to take strong sedatives, because it was very hard to endure this tyranny. But still, being aware that God helped me from the beginning of my conversion in Orthodox Christianity, I had strong faith that God will not leave me even in this terrible state of my mind. So that's how I went to see this elder. And now finally I'm in the car driving towards Pennsylvania. And after this meeting, when I was already completely disappointed that nothing really happened, finally, and without being aware of it on the beginning, now I have realized that the fear is basically gone. And not only that, I understood I do not have fear in my heart anymore. And it was such a stunning realization that I thought it is just something that it only pretends to me. It was for real, but actually it wasn't real. So I was waiting for a little bit more just to see whether is this fear going to come back, because it was inseparable part of me for more than 6 months. But to my even greater astonishing, not only that the fear diminished and disappeared, but now certain beautiful, extremely beautiful feeling started to fill me up. And definitely I was aware that something beautiful and something spiritual is happening to me, and that something is coming from God, and that those prayers on that little old man did incredible thing, did something beautiful, did something really astonishing and stunning and stupefying, that not only the fear disappeared, but now I'm feeling full of love, full of immortality, full of joy, full of certain feeling that it is something like I'm not on earth, I'm somewhere above on in the heavens. So I was driving, being almost not there, and at one moment I have taken a look towards Father Gregory, and he was, when we started our trip, he was knitting a prayer rope, but now he stopped knitting and he lowered his head down and he was completely silent and motionless. But then, as I was looking at him, he lifted up his head and he looked at me and he asked me, "Brother Alexander, how do you feel?" But he asked me in a such a unusual manner. So when I saw his eyes, his face, I've seen that he was somehow red with blush on his cheeks, like he went from a bathroom, from bathing, from shower, from sauna. He was so red and his eyes were glittering. And I said to him, "Father Gregory, I think maybe I never felt like this in my life. This is something beautiful. What is this?" And he told me, "Hush, Brother Alexander. This happened by the prayers of Elder Ephrem." And in this moment, I understood that he was at the same state of his spirit and his soul and his mind as I was. And I have realized that at the same time, both of us, we were overshadowed by this grace of the Lord that came to us by the prayers of the holy Elder Ephrem. So not only that I was influenced by his prayer, but Father Gregory as well, at the same time, and we were completely connected together with this beautiful grace of the Lord. And it was so astonishing feeling and acknowledgement that I just didn't continue to talk anything. I just continued to drive and to think how beautiful is the Lord and how beautiful are those people who carry living God in themselves. And one of those holy men, if there is a holy people today on planet, he is definitely one of them. So being so filled with this grace of the Lord, with this beautiful feeling, with this feeling of immortality, with this feeling of ultimate joy, we finally arrived at our monastery. And I was so out of my mind because of this immense joy And Father Gregory noticed this, of course, and he told me, "You see, Brother Alexander, it was really good that you came with me. You see, you are healed now." And I said, "Father Gregory, I'm afraid to believe so, but it looks like you just said." And so I thought, "Oh my God, I'm really healed. There is no fear anymore." But I have to say, this celebration, this beautiful feast of God's grace lasted only 3 days. And after those 3 days, when I thought I'm already healed, now the fear came back. But not anymore in this intensity it was before meeting with the Holy Elder. Only now it was less, and then thoughts told me, "Now you have seen how beautiful is the power of the prayers of the holy people. Now you have to work more. Now you have to pray more. Now you have hope and confirmation that your healing is possible and that the living God is omnipotent. He can do everything. And this is also the confirmation that you should stick to the experienced monks that can help you." So with a certain small disappointment, I came back in my fight with my fears, but not that hard anymore. So this gave me a great encouragement to realize that really it was true. It was true that I entered finally the healing of my soul.
Slava tu isilu isyato.
Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. So now I entered new period of my monastic life. Of course, I was still a novice, but deep in myself, I've seen myself as a monk. So now I've seen that this most terrible part of this almost hopeless combat and fight with tears is slowly approaching to the to its end. But although it was not yet finished, but the end was on the horizon. I could see it. I could see it is possible. So it gave me great strength to proceed further on. But after meeting with this holy elder, Ephrem, I have definitely understood that to me it is extremely important to go back to Europe, whether Greece or Serbia, and to give myself up to certain spiritually more experienced man. And because I have seen that it is very dangerous to proceed in spiritual way without experienced guide, and this could be for me really deadly, and I was on the verge of losing my mind. So I finally made a decision that I have to leave United States for good and to go back to Serbia or to Greece. So actually I thought that it would be best for me to go to Mount Athos, to Holy Mountain. There are many monasteries, great number of monks, and among them there should be definitely enough experienced elders, and among them that I could maybe choose one for me to be my spiritual guide and spiritual father. But the problem was that my passport expired already a few years ago, and even before monastery I was going to Yugoslavian consulate and trying to extend my passport. But since there was a war in Yugoslavia and I was not serving army when I was there, the consul told me, well, Mr. Jovanović, you are not allowed to have new passport. You're just going to have a document that you can travel from United States to Yugoslavia, and that's it. And of course, that was absolutely clear to me that if I go there, they would take me right straight in the war. And I, of course, didn't want to fight. For what reason? For this stupid, insane war that was on in my homeland. So I said, no thanks, I'm not going back under these conditions. But now the war was over, and I really couldn't stay in America anymore. I had to go back, and I had to find a serious monastery with serious monks and with serious experienced elders, spiritual people that could help me on my way towards, first of all, healing my soul and then proceeding more in spiritual life. But since I didn't know what to do, there was a Greek lady. She was a wife of one priest from New York, and she used to live there, and she was Greek and very nice lady. She was like maybe at that time about 60, and I was 31. So we acquainted, and sometimes we would talk when she would come to the monastery. And I was telling her how terribly I'm suffering from these fears. And a few times she invited me for lunch at her place. So abbot gave me his blessing. So sometimes I would go there, be with her. Sometimes I would help her in the garden, fix something in the house, because I was a teacher at the St. Vladimir's Seminary in Yonkers. He was a theologian. So she was basically alone, and her children, her son was in Washington, D.C., and her daughter was in New York City. So once I told her that I have to go to Greece and to find somebody who can help me, but I have this damn problem with my passport. And she told me, well, you know, if they don't want to extend your passport in Yugoslavian embassy, maybe my son can help. I said, who is your son? She said, my son is an international lawyer and he works in Greek embassy in Washington, D.C. Maybe he can help you. I said, well, maybe. Call him. She said, well, I'll call him and we will see. So in a couple of days, she fulfilled her promise. So she called me back in the monastery and she said, Brother Alexander, guess what? I spoke to my son and he said that this is not going to be a problem, that he will help me. So I have to go to Washington, D.C. to meet him, and then we will go together to Yugoslavian embassy, and he's sure that he can help me, because I'm a monk now. I'm almost like a priest in black garments, black robes, and so I just have to go there and we will see. So it was a great encouragement. It was very good news to me, because it looked like that maybe I will finally get my passport and then that I will go back to my homeland, to old continent. So next week I had a blessing from Abbott, and I went to, I have taken a bus to Washington, D.C. So finally we met. He was employed in Greek embassy on some pretty important place. And when we met, he was very kind, and he told me, well, you know, we cannot do this today. I'm very busy. Come tomorrow and we'll go. So I didn't know what to do. So I went back to my small, cheap hotel that I rented a room over there. And so I went out for a long walk. There was a very beautiful avenue called Embassy Row in Washington, D.C. And I have seen there many beautiful buildings and embassies and residences. And there was an episode. There was a beautiful mosque over there. I think it was made by, it belonged to some of those rich Arab countries. It was extremely beautiful, but of course it was a Muslim mosque. But still, it attracted me a lot, so I entered in. And there was a happening that once I will talk about it, but now it's not time for that. So finally, next day, I went back to the Greek embassy in the, early in the morning, and the Greek guy, he greeted me. So we went together to Yugoslavian embassy, and to my great joy, I have received finally a new passport. So now I was free to travel. I was free to leave the United States after 6 years of many beautiful and sometimes sad events that I went through. It appeared to me that my stay in the United States, actually it was a whole life to me, because 6 years, those 6 years were full of intense way of living. So many things happened to me, so many things I have discovered, so many good people I met, and everything. Basically, I have matured in the United States. Those years from 27 until 33, very critical and very important for maturing for a person. And those years I have spent in the United States. So although I was Serbian, born Serbian in Yugoslavia, I have considered myself as, in a way, American as well. Because, well, I was formed in those important years of maturing, living in United States. But now I will use this opportunity to tell about my visit to this Muslim mosque. It was such a beautiful building, made out of bright snow-white marble with pieces of deep blue ceramics, with beautiful garden around it, and there was a lot of Venetian glass incorporated in the walls of this beautiful building. So I entered the yard of the mosque, and the garden was beautiful flowers, and it was empty, nobody was there. So and thoughts were telling me, why are you entering this mosque? It's a Muslim place. You're Orthodox Christian. You don't have to do anything here. There is nothing for you at this place. Leave. But I told to myself, well, I'll go inside. It's so beautiful. Nothing can happen to me. Finally, I'm free to taste everything, to see everything. I hope God will not be mad on me. So this way, I have opposed to those thoughts that they were telling me that it's not clever to enter this Islamic prayer house because it's not place for an Orthodox Christian. But still, I was stubborn, and still I was not yet experienced enough to realize that those thoughts were coming from the very Lord. But then the Lord became silent. He said, okay, if you want to do it. So I came to the entrance, and I have seen few pairs of shoes outside, because Muslim people, they take off their shoes when they enter their mosque. So I took off my sandals, and barefoot, only with socks, I entered the mosque. I went in, and I have seen that this mosque was even more beautiful from inside. A lot of those arabesques on the walls and on the ceiling. Ceiling was deep blue with gold stars painted on it, and beautiful ornaments all over. And the floor was made out of several types of wood, and this wooden floor was also adorned with ornaments. There were a lot of pillars holding the ceiling all over, and I was watching all around, and not immediately, but after a few minutes, I have seen there was a man there, walking all around, walking all the time, not sitting, not standing, but walking and chanting something. So I thought it is some kind of prayer. He was walking all over around these pillars, and a few times he came just next to me, but he didn't take any look at me. He was just walking and chanting, holding some small book in his hands. So finally I realized that it was enough for me to be in the mosque, and now I should go out. So when I went out, I put my sandals on, but then
I have noticed
a pair of people that they were not there before when I came. They came later when I entered, and it was a black guy and a white girl. They were together, and they were sitting on the stairs right next to the entrance. So when I went out, they have seen me, and they were puzzled who I am, and probably they knew that I'm a Christian and what I'm looking in, and what I'm asking, or what I'm searching in a mosque. So they told me hello, and I told them hello as well. And they said, who are you? I said, well, I am an Orthodox Christian monk. And they said, monk? Oh, really? What do you do? I said, well, I have dedicated myself to the Lord, and I dedicated my life to prayer. And they said, oh, really? You pray? We pray as well. And I've seen that they were American, but Muslims. And then the girl told me, how do you pray? And I told her, well, there are several ways of prayer, but basically I like to pray mentally. It resembles, for example, let's say a Buddhist meditation. We sit or stand, and we repeat in our heart with mind a certain prayer, especially during the night. It is very important for us Christians. And she said, oh yeah, well, you know, I pray as well. I pray a lot during the night. And then all of a sudden she stared at my eyes, directly at my eyes, and she asked me, looking very serious, do you see angels when you pray? Do angels come and stay around you, be with you? Are they together with you when you pray? And I was a little bit surprised with this question, and I told her, well, you know, I don't know if the angels are there. We do not see them. It's not that usual for us that angels come from the heavens and pray together with us. She said, what do you mean it's unusual? They always come and they pray together with me when I pray. And I said, she told me, and they are so beautiful. I said, really, how do they look like? And she told me, well, they have wings with very colorful wings with many colors. And they are all together. They are together with me, and they pray, and they have beautiful garments, and they have beautiful faces, and they look so nice, and they sing with me. I said, well, you know, I have to admit that some of the Holy Fathers in the history of our church, they were granted to see the angels, but not every average Christian is given to him to see an angels, because sometimes it can be very dangerous, because a Satan can take a form of angel in order to seduce us, to delude us. And our Holy Fathers say that we are not called to receive every vision of an angel, but to be very careful, and very often we have to refuse these visions, because if we continue to accept these visions, sometimes we can get in deep delusion, and sometimes we can even lose our mind, and definitely to undergo a damage. And at that moment, she became so enraged. She became so red in her face, and she said, what do you mean we have to refuse angels? No, angels, those are real angels. They come to me, and the God is sending, the Allah is sending those angels to me. What do you mean? And she became so angry that I was so surprised. What a strange change happened to her, because in the beginning she was so kind and nice, and it was very unpleasant at that moment. So I said, well, I'm sorry, maybe I'm wrong, maybe you're right, I have to go now. But at that moment, this black guy addressed me and he said, well, tell me one thing. I said, what thing? He said, well, what about Virgin Mary? Is this really that she gave birth without being with man? You know what I mean? I said, well, yes, that's how the Bible says. And he said, I really, she didn't do this. And then, at this moment, he made a movement with his arms and with his body, like when somebody is having a sexual intercourse with somebody. And this guy, this black young man, he was saying this for Virgin Mary, that is this really possible that she didn't do that? And at that moment, it was so terrible, so bad from this man. And he really came really into the center of our holiness. He made a blow in the very heart of Christian dogma, which is ever Virgin Mary. So at that moment, I have realized that I really made a great mistake, that I came there, and that those people were so mean, and this man was so mean, and he made such a terrible sign with a movement with his body. Holiness of Virgin Mary. So I just stopped talking anything to them, and I went straight out towards exit of the mosque. But to my great disappointment, I have realized it was somehow too late, because I was so spoiled with such a terrible conversation with these two people, that after this moment, when he made this movement with his body and with his arms, at that very moment, I felt something so stinking, some terrible stench came to me from them, from this man, from this mean man. And it was like I was in the middle of some garbage or some terrible stinking place. So I went very fast to leave and to get to the exit, but so went out on the street, and only once more I have taken a look towards them, and I have seen his terrible satanic smile on his face. He was smiling and looking at me, how he made me to run away from them. But of course, I had deserved it. It was my mistake. I was looking and I was asking for a devil, as we say in Serbian language. So anyway, I went out on the street, but I was feeling so terrible, and I couldn't expel this terrible stench from my nose. It was like I put my head in the toilet bowl, and really, I cannot explain what a terrible stench was in my head and in my forehead and in my nostrils. Something absolutely, completely opposite of those beautiful fragrances that I used to feel in the monastery early in the morning after the whole night prayer. This stench was coming from the bottom of hell. It was hell stench. So when I went back to my hotel room, I was so disappointed and I was so mad on myself. So I came down to my knees, and kneeling, I was praying to the Lord, feeling deep repentance and pain in my heart, saying, oh Lord, forgive me. You warned me in the beginning. You warned me and told me, why are you entering such a place? It is not place for you.
Do not go inside.
But I was so stubborn. I was so stupid. And I went in and I was so soiled in there. Lord, please help me. Forgive me. But this couldn't go so easily. So for about 3 full days, I was feeling this stench. And it was always around me. So I didn't know anymore, am I stinking, or something is stinking around me? So this smell was so bad. This smell was so terrible. And I have realized that demons are emanating this kind of... The demons are giving out this kind of terrible smell, this kind of terrible stench. So I have realized, oh my God, it must be really absolutely terrible in hell with such a stench. Please, Lord, help me and forgive me to get rid of this. So finally, after 3 full days, finally this terrible smell departed from me. And I told myself, oh please God, help me to realize, to see in advance, to recognize your warnings because the conscientious is always telling us what to do and what not to do. And when we listen to our conscientious, when we listen to it, it helps us. But when we do not listen, we go through many damages. But thank God, I have received my passport, and so I went back to Pennsylvania, to my monastery, and I have informed the abbot of the monastery that I have to leave. I have received my passport, so I'm leaving for good. So they were not glad to hear that. They thought I'm going to stay there. So they were not very nice to me. But I understand them. It was nothing bad, but they were not happy as I was happy. This is the point. So finally, the last day of my stay in the monastery of St. Ikon of Zadonsk in Pennsylvania came, and I said goodbye and farewell to everybody, and I had taken a bus from Scranton towards New York. So since I have given my apartment, now I have called my good old friend Ninoslav, and he told me that I can stay at his place because he had a pretty big apartment in Brooklyn, close to Coney Island in Brooklyn, and he was waiting for me at bus station, Greyhound bus station in New York City. So finally I found myself in New York again with my beloved friend Ninoslav. But since I didn't have any money, now I had to make some money, I had to earn some money, and I didn't know how to do that. But thank God, Ninoslav had a van, similar like I used to have before, and I proposed him that we could make some movings with a van, because I had experience with the moving business. And since he was working as a teacher in elementary school, his salary was not that great. And he told me, well, now it's summer, the school is off, so this is a good idea. Maybe we can work for a couple of months and make money. So it was a great idea. And we started to work like I used to do before. We made a few thousands of flyers and we put them all over the city, and people started to call us. So we were working together as really good friends, and the money was coming in finally. And but I have to say that those fears were still with me. And whenever I would stay, I would be alone in my room or somewhere, I was fighting with them, and I was saying, and I was praying to the Lord, oh Lord, please, am I going ever to be freed from these fears? My life changed so much. Before, I was so full of joy, full of happiness, full of your love, and now I'm suffering. What happened with me? And very often, this thought of death would come to me. It looked to me that everything was dying around me, that everybody will die, that I am going to die. There is no more life anymore. It was such a terrible depression in myself. It was so hard. I just couldn't recognize what really happened with me. Is it really possible that this is coming to me because I was thinking, I was having high opinion on me, and the thoughts were telling me, you always have to be humble. You always have to be kind to everybody, not to have high opinion on you. This is what happened to you. This is the result of your high opinion of yourself. And because you were looking from the heights of some imaginary accomplishment, spiritual accomplishment, you were looking from high above to other brothers in the monastery. And that's why this happened to you. So I understood these thoughts were saying truth. And I said, well, God, for the sake of your love, I will go through this, and I believe you will help me. So finally, I have made enough money to repay some old debts and to buy airplane ticket to Athens, Greece. I have already made decision, I'm going to Greece and I'm going to Mount Athos. And I will stay there and I will continue my monastic life in Mount Athos, in this beautiful, mysterious monastic republic. Finally, my stay, my life in the United States came to its end. And as I was saying farewell to my homeland, Serbia, 6 years ago, saying goodbye to streets, houses, Belgrade birds, people, to my memories, to my youth, now I was saying goodbye to my life in New York, to all these good and bad things that happened to me. But all those things helped me to become a more serious person, more matured person, and most important of all, that I have become an Orthodox Christian, and as a crown of everything, that I have become, although not yet monk, but that I have become a novice, and that I have discovered the real way, the real road towards living God, creator of the universe. Finally, this day, the day of departure came, and as I was greeting all my friends and family 6 years ago back in Belgrade, now I was saying goodbye and farewell to my good friends, and Ninoslav have taken me. He drove me by his van to Kennedy Airport, and finally, and for the last time in our life in New York, we hugged each other, kissed and said goodbye, and hopefully we'll see each other again in future. About this future, we will continue in our next meeting. Goodbye and thank you. Thank you for listening Radio Svetigora, the radio station of the Serbian Orthodox Church, Diocese of Montenegro and the Seaside. Blessed by His High Eminence, Metropolitan Amphilochia.